When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV, it's instant match reaction. Liverpool beat Norwich and knocked them out of the League Cup 3-0 at Carrow Road. I'm Paul Machin, Chris Pajak is with me in the studio where we have been for a very long day.
It's been a long day.
But it's come to a happy conclusion, happy ending if you will, with Liverpool obviously getting the result that we were looking for. Really, there's a number of players I think we can talk about. We obviously can't do them all here on this show. We'll talk about everyone on the final word tomorrow. But first and foremost, we had a comment in while we were waiting to start from 1982 Obsidian saying, special mention for Morton, who people appear to have glossed over. Looks super composed in the middle of the park. I don't think anyone has glossed over this. Our Twitter mentions, and in fact, the entirety of Twitter is awash with Tyler Morton love. And I think it's probably testament to how little attention we paid in the second half. I thought he was sound, but I'm here all day for people thinking he's the next great Liverpool midfielder, because it's not wrong. We were better in the second half, much better balanced when Tyler Morton came on.
Yeah, and that's testament to him, isn't it? Because you think of the midfield three that started, you know, you got Kurt Jones, 50th Liverpool appearance or whatever, you got Naby Keita and you got Oxlade-Chamberlain, three experienced footballers who didn't have the best of the first half. You know, the midfield, Billy Gilmore's running through it at wills at times, and Tyler Morton comes on and settles it, just settles it all right down, and then everyone. And the mad thing is, I don't even know what formation we're playing. So it's probably not something he's practiced. Like, sitting and holding while everyone else in front of you goes and flies around. And it's like, how have you steadied that shit, mate?
Yeah.
You're just over there with weight side to side, like balancing it all off and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
100%. Like an old Game and Watch Mario game. There's probably something that does a little bit of that.
And yeah, just, a little tightrope walker with the long stick and the weight on either side, and he's there just sort of balancing it all over the shop.
It was good
idea how he's done it, Paul.
It was just a good performance all over. I don't think anyone really expected to be talking about Tyler Morton when the team came out, and the good thing about it is that
didn't think he'd even come off the bench.
He was we just about guessed that he might be on the bench, but too late to make a card for him for the board. Well, you made a card for him. That's correct. You drew a wonderful stick interpretation of Tyler Morton, who looks identical to James Balaghese as well. But the point is, you know, we were talking about.
I photoshopped his head onto Balaghese's body.
Sure. We talked about where we said Jordan Henderson was probably the sub to come on after about 15 minutes, maybe the second half or something, or, you know, because of half time, you're right, the midfield wasn't right. I don't think, look, we'll talk about Ox in a second, but like, Kurt Jones was fine. I actually think Naby Keita was fine as well. I don't think, you know, I think Kurt was probably the best, even though he was clearly tasked with being more the nominated DM.
And he had more of the ball as well because of that. So he's able to show a little bit more that, you know, a bit more involved on the ball, passing, safer options, etc.
The obvious change was, well, you got the captain there. Just bring Jordan on and just steady the thing. So when Naby comes off, and now we now know, Klopp's talked about this, that he kicked the floor in the first half and he's hoping it's not too serious, but the way it's being covered by a few people, of Naby hurt himself kicking grass, isn't going to do the legend of Naby Keita any good, by the way. But that's bold from the manager to
really
say
bold.
We're taking Naby Keita off, we're going to bring Tyler Morton on when you've got Jordan Henderson, the our other recognised defensive midfielder who could quite easily have come on, and you could have pushed Curtis and Oxford.
There's two things to read into that, isn't there? There's one, Jordan Henderson's really, really important. He doesn't really want to run him into the ground 45 minutes, etc. Especially when Thiago's picked up an injury and going to be out for the rest of the week. And two, he trusts Tyler Morton. That's the other thing, isn't it? Because it's competitive. It's 1-0. you know, it's very easy to make that sub and lose control of the game, when actually we gained control of the game for making the substitution, which is testament to Morton all day.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk Oxlade-Chamberlain, Chris. It's not a game to remember for Ox. I hope, although that being said, I hope he remembers it, because in so much as he was buzzing with laying the ball in for Taki Minamino, so he, you know, that will have done him no end of good in a game where he's toiled a bit. Like I don't think he was everywhere. He worked really hard. He was always eager to have the ball. It wasn't for a lack of trying, and I think we've levelled that at plenty of players who we've dropped into football matches in the League Cup in disjointed sides. That was a kind of performance I've seen a lot of. But actually, you know, he was fine up until the point where he had to do something to be good, and then it all went wrong for him. My hope is that, again, he comes away thinking, okay, well, I know I was in a bit of a hole there, but at least I managed to contribute towards the game, and that's the psychological thing that he takes out of it, because I think if he was to look at his full performance, it was a bit disappointing.
Find the good. Yeah, I suppose that's right, isn't it? I think I could sum his performance up in one word, for if you want, rusty. Yeah. And that was it, because you're right, the endeavour was there, the work rate, all that type of stuff was there, the ability to get involved, show up for it, make sure he was a pass for everybody in the midfield, all good, all positives to be taken out of it. But fuck me, his touch wasn't great, his decision making wasn't great, and his final ball or his passing was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
That's ring rust, isn't it? You know what I mean?
And that's it. And I just think everyone got a better handle on things in the second half in general, and whether that was just committing more bodies to attack, because that was the one thing that we got a little bit let down by. Divock a bit isolated, Taki, but it was just, you know, Divock wasn't making the right runs, Taki wasn't quite making the right runs, Kate Gordon's ended up like, go and do everything yourself, you small 16-year-old talented boy, you know, and that's too much to ask of him. Just committing extra bodies to attack helped everyone look a bit more rounded in that second period. And the thing for me, and which is the biggest take home from this game, is Taki Minamino, and this last 7 days, Taki Minamino and Divock Origi have been dropped into games, and they have done pretty much all you can ask of them, particularly when they both could have been very rusty. You know, we've seen Divock struggled last season because he was getting dropped into rare isolated games and looking miles off it, and it happened a bit to Taki as well. It's early doors in the season. I don't want to see them disappear into the, you know, off to the darker reaches of the squad and not get enough minutes, but what, you can't really ask more for your backups.
No, you can't, and I think of it, I've talked a bit about on the player ratings, but I didn't mention any of this stuff, but I think for me, I think you're in agreement with this. Taki's a really good finisher.
Yep.
And when he finds a little bit of space in the box, he's just instinctive. He knows where the goal is. He knows how to position his body, et cetera, et cetera. And I think they're both fighting for the share, but I also think they're both fighting for their futures.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Origi comes into these games, having just gone through a summer where he probably expected to move on, didn't, no one was interested in him, right? Who's going to be interested in him if he comes in for a League Cup game and plays shit? You know what I mean? Or when he, on those rare occasions, he drops in. So yeah, he might be fighting for the shape, but I think he's also fighting for his future. I think Minamino's slightly different in that. I don't think Klopp's ready to give up on him yet. Mm-hmm. I think he sees the benefit of having Taki Minamino around. He's one, I think, who right now is just fighting for his shape, wants to be involved, wants to show Akaki what he can do.
Yeah.
And I think they both have done well tonight.
I think I wonder whether there's a psychological thing where Klopp's pulled Divock in and having not been involved, and he's looking a little bit down the barrel of his future here and going... To the point, Klopp even mentioned this, you know, they expected him to leave, but there were no suitable offers dropped in on the table in the summer. And you go into Divock, well, mate, I know you're comfortable here, and if you're prepared to continue to come in and work your hardest in training, then that's cool. We'll keep you, mate, and you'll be a part of this squad without a doubt, because we love you, Divock. But we both know it's probably about past time that you did go and get on with the rest of your career, because he's still a young man. He's still 25, 26, I think he is.
Listen, and Divock can still go and have a good career.
And the thing is now, it's like, you're defo going at the end of the season, mate. But what's your choice? Because right now, you know, he should have been. There's about 10 Premier League clubs who should have been asking the question.
Aston Villa, before they signed Ings, should have been looking in at Divock Origi as well.
You know, like, I know he's not going to necessarily cross the park, but Everton would benefit from having a Divock Origi in their squad. You know, I know Leicester have gone out and bought Patson Daka or whatever, but I know Iheanacho had that real purple patch at the back end of the season. But prior to him doing that, and that came from a run of games, by the way, Divock Origi, Iheanacho was shite. Couldn't score a goal to save his life. Divock Origi was a better prospect than him up until that point. You know, and then you go around it, you know, Norwich City would be a better side for having a Divock Origi available to them. There's tons. And then, you know, go on to the continent, there should be plenty of other top tier football clubs, European caliber football clubs. But if they're not knocking now, if Divock doesn't double down, doesn't apply himself this season and give his absolute all every time he's given a sniff of an opportunity, then all of a sudden there's going to be clubs that aren't knocking. And he must be in training now, and Loris Karius is there. It's a similar sort of thing now, where the tier of clubs that keep starting to knock around for you are getting lower and lower with every season that passes. Divock seems so far to taking the right approach, and I think we need that. Because everyone needs to buy into what we're doing, and there's few managers quite as good as getting someone as causing buy-in than Klopp. But no, good on Divock so far.
And let's play devil's advocate on this, and it's not something that I've particularly even loads of thought to or whatever, and not something.
So let's throw it out on the internet. Let's throw it out there,
you know what I mean? Because, you know, Tottenham struggled for a long time to get a backup to Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Because Harry Kane's going to play every single game. Are we in a better position than they've been, having Divock around? You know, a lad who we know can score goals when he's given those opportunities. A lad who has scored big goals in big games. Tottenham know that. It's actually not a bad thing to just have him around because he's still better than a lot of players.
I was banging my head against the brick wall about 3 or 4 weeks ago on the Reds. So at the end of the last week in August, I think we did the Reds News Roundup, and I was trying to say, I know we don't all think Divock's brilliant, but if he's our last port of call, our last resort in terms of senior footballers to play in attacking positions for us, that's really good, because I know we'd all like him to be another better footballer, but in realistic terms, you can't. It's very hard to have 6 brilliant footballers in attacking positions, because who are you getting? Like, who are you getting who's going to take on Divock's amount of minutes? Because the main men play loads of footy for us, and your main men should play loads of footy for you. And it's nice to have a bit of rotational option, but where do they get their game? You need injuries, and we are quite lucky that we have quite resilient footballers in that regard. There's not many you can call upon a guy as good as Divock Origi, and that's the long and short of it. And for me, the big question marks were really over Taki Minamino, because I know what Divock can do. We all know he's a known resource, and it's whether you believe he's at the low end of what he can do or at the high end. And the truth, probably, if he's really applying himself and he's being used a bit more regularly, it's probably somewhere in between. He has the ability to maybe score you 10 goals in all comps if he gets enough goals, if he gets enough minutes on the pitch. Yeah. And they'll largely come in the cup games or in some of the weaker Champions League group games or whatever, but 7, 8, 9 maybe sort of goals.
If you want to play football, score the goals, keepers in those competitions.
Exactly. Taki Minamino, though, is the one where, to your point, I don't know him. I don't know what he does. We don't even know what position he plays best. You know, we thought he was an understudy for Bobby.
Don't know what position he played today.
No. Played deeper to it in the second half again, and it seems to quite suit him, but he's got that instinct to get into the box, which I think is a thing that I'm starting to identify with him. He's the real barometer for how good our depth is. Because, like I say, Divock can play in any, he can play in 2 or 3 of the 4 of the front 3 positions. He doesn't make you play better, but he will play and score a goal for you.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know if that's true about Taki Minamino. He's a big, massive question mark in a football shirt for us. And particularly with the AFCON thing, it's not loads of games that Mane and Salah are going to miss.
2 per minute, 1 FA Cup.
Potentially 3 if they get to the finals, I think.
I mean, I looked at their groups and I thought they weren't getting out of their groups, both teams.
Yeah, but of course, Senegal got to the final, didn't they, last time?
You don't know.
But the point is, it's not as bad as people make out, but we're still going to need Origi and Taki to be a positive for us. You could lose them games because you don't have enough firepower. And Minamino, first time we've seen him this season, looked really good in pre-season. He's just got 2 goals, 2 really good finishes. That's a good starting place. I don't know now. I don't go, right, Divock's off the bench again. Taki's the first substitute and he's going to come on at the weekend for half an hour for Mane and that's boss.
No. And again, just sort of riffing off that and carrying it on. I don't know what he plays like with Salah and Mane and
how linked up really well with Bobby in pre-season, which is a good thing, but which bodes well.
But he's not fit.
Yeah.
So again, to your point and why it's right, he's just still a big question mark. But he's a question mark that's got 2 goals under his belt today in a performance that wasn't the best, wasn't a really like flowing performance, but it was ground out, it was worked hard for, and he was there to finish everyone's dinner for them. Yeah. And that's good. So we've got a lad there who's going to look like he can score goals if given opportunities in the box. Like that, love that, in fact. And he showed versatility in-game there. So what more can you ask for someone coming in who hasn't played since pre-season, scores 2 goals?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're seeing the benefits of lads getting a proper pre-season, being properly integrated, getting up to speed with what Klopp wants, hardcore training time on with the rest of the players and the good players around them. Tsimikas looks now like a first team Liverpool footballer who can come in and do a very good Andy Robertson replacement job. And I don't know how good really, because we'll see how over the course of the season. But if Robbo's playing at an 8 every week, Tsimikas has been at a 7.5 for us. And maybe I'm even doing him a disservice because I think he's been brilliant in what we've seen of him so far. He's got that. We don't lose something in attacking sense. You know, we've come about this right back thing. Milner put a great shift in, but he's not giving you what Trent does in a creative sense. Nico Williams doesn't, and Conor Bradley, who had a good game all round despite the penalty thing, he's not giving you on that side. Tsimikas has got he's setting goals up. He's creating stuff from set pieces. He's giving you output. Taki looked set to follow that model because he was the other guy who shone in pre-season. I just hope he gets the game time because, again, that's positive. That's the one thing we can say about that is that's... He's just come in, first game of the season, and he scored 2 goals. And the game where, let's be honest, if you don't score that early goal, we didn't really create a lot after the goal.
It could be a tough game.
Yeah.
Could be a really tough game for that, yeah.
Vital goal there. For, and that's what he needs. I don't need him to score the fourth in a rout. You want him scoring the first goal. He scored the 2 most important goals of the game there, really. He's given us the lead and he's put the game to bed. And that's all you can ask for you guys in front positions, really. We've got a couple of super chats. Blake Loomis with the $5. Thank you, Blake. When does Phillips get game time, if not tonight? Matip and Gomez won't last the whole season and Virgil will be better off long-term with some rotation. As we said in the pre-match, really, for this, it's a good question and it's an answer. It's one I don't have an answer for. The only answer I think is what we can judge by this is the only way that Nat Phillips is getting a game for Liverpool is if we do have two injuries and we're still in a cup competition, probably.
Yeah, or Atletico away.
Nailed that. Imagine. And all the people who are going, oh, it's what? How upsetting is it that Nat Phillips has been giving a game against Norwich? Imagine if we started him in the one there. There people will be going, no. No, not that. Like, we just wanted to say thanks. We were going to give him a handshake, not wank him off. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah. No, I think we've judged. I think we've seen from Phillips there.
It's more important. You got it right pre-match, mate. It's more important to get Konaté and Gomez up to speed.
Yeah, and I agree with the Matip and Gomez. I don't necessarily agree on the Gomez thing because there's a chance that he's been a bit unlucky with injuries, whereas Matip just gets muscle injuries a lot and puts him out for a few games and then he comes back and so on, whereas Gomez has been unlucky with like breaks and impact injuries and what have you. But to the point, Virgil'll be better off with long term with some rotation. Well, we have. He's just had two of the last three games of football off. We pointed out pre-game, he played in this fixture last season against Lincoln, against a much worse side. Virgil van Dijk started the League Cup third round against Lincoln.
What was Klopp doing?
Man.
What was he doing? Man.
Well, we had injury problems at the
what
time.
What about that Phillips? He was there.
Well, yeah.
He played alongside Reece Williams, didn't he?
Not good enough. Yeah, for the time. It was funny how that changes. But yeah, it's an interesting one there. But this is the point, is that Gomez might not last the whole season, but Gomez has been out for two-thirds of a season or whatever. He needs to get up to speed because, as we said, there's a pecking order. To protect Virgil, we clearly see Gomez and Konaté as being better than Phillips. That's just the way it is. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah. I was saying, you know, I think you can see that Konaté is quite raw, can't you? I don't think positionally he's right there yet, which is why he needs the minutes. And Joe Gomez, you mentioned there, he's been out for so long now. He just needs to play football.
Yeah.
He needs to start trusting his body as well and stuff like that. And it's the same for Virgil van Dijk. And he'll have built up a lot more trust than Joe Gomez will at this point. Same Matip will just trust his body until he can't trust his body anymore. That's just the way that it works with him. Yeah. But Joe Gomez has had that many long-term injuries. I think it'll take a lot longer for him to sort of get back to that level. Mm-hmm. So we need to play him whenever we can.
Yeah, LSG Balloon here. So I thought Gomez had a great game, read the game well and tackled and read the game. Yeah, he did. I thought he was a really good performance. Joe. And to the Konaté point, I've now watched two games of football with Ibrahima Konaté as a Liverpool player. And I saw a marked improvement in his all-round fit just from one game to the next. And that's the point on that as well. And it was a comment made earlier on. I think it was Scott Hawkes made it pre-game about, like, you don't spend £36 million on a defender and then put him below Nat Phillips in the pecking order, regardless of what Nat Phillips has done. He's a 21-year-old centre-half. He's got he's got so much potential lying ahead of him. We've now got our seasoned centre-back pairing who are up and running. Best centre-back pairing in the league in Van Dijk and Matip, possibly the world. And
I like that. It's the first time I've heard someone say that.
And then underneath it now, we've got a 21-year-old and a 24-year-old who are getting better game on game and developing their own understanding. That's, you know, we talk about how you transition this squad over the coming years. So, I mean, these are the baby steps of that. And that today, I think today was a really good thing for that. Just one more super chat, actually, before we wrap up, unless we've got another one.
It's two.
It's Crossbow. Keller was unreal tonight. Hope he gets more games. Yeah, I'm. That's what we want from him. Because Alisson will probably miss a few games this season. It just seems to be that he'll get a knock every now and again. You know, he might miss a couple, or God knows, Brazil might fly him into like a pit of COVID, and he'll have to miss some games because of that. It was just another really solid, encouraging game.
I'd give Keller the whole cup, however far you get in this competition. I'd maybe give him an early round FA Cup, depending on draw. Definitely. For everything else, I don't want him anywhere near the team, because it means that Alisson's injured. But I'm not worried if Alisson gets injured, because I think we've got a real future star here in Callagher.
Yeah.
Just he never disappoints. His distribution is brilliant. His fit for the team is brilliant, and that's all you can ask for, mate.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what you need. It's what we've never had.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly.
We've had lads who are decent shot stoppers behind Adrian, Alisson, sorry. And we've had lads that are terrible shot stoppers behind Alisson as well. We've never had someone that can do everything that Alisson can do, but maybe just not quite at that level.
Something obviously has been a focus for me, having grown up as a keeper and what have you, and what you'd, young, it's very, very hard to blood a young goalkeeper. And I do wonder whether, you know, he'll reach a point where there's already chat about the Irish manager saying that he needs to play because he's not gonna play for the national side. We might reach a point at the end of the season where you go and get him a good loan. I mean, look at Thibaut Courtois goes and does that 2-year loan at Atletico, and then Chelsea go, right, great, here you go, come back in. He might need that at some point, but right now, you know, he just needs to establish himself as that cup goalkeeper for us and be ready to drop in should we require him for any reason for Alisson. And so far so good.
Look, Jürgen's got to put an arm around him and go, listen lads, you're young, you're full of spunk, I know this, you've got 15 years left. Yeah, you don't need to worry about getting in the Ireland team now. You can ruin young goalkeepers too easily with too much too soon, can't you? You know, for all the talent that they might have, too much too soon as a goalkeeper is probably not a great thing.
Yeah. It's interesting, this. Obviously, you know, people talk about Conor Bradley, very impressed with him. I thought he was. It was an impressive performance from him as well. I think particularly because he gave away the penalty, I thought he reacted brilliantly to that. There was a tackle that he puts in, like an important tackle in a place on the right deep in his position in the right-back area. He could have just been a bit wild for 5 or 10 minutes after
it. I think you got a spot on there. It's the reaction to giving away the penalty. He could have shied away from that game and he didn't. And I think he settled himself down for a few minutes. I'm sure Gomez will have had a little word with him. Canate, anyone who's nearby, the experienced players will have had a little word, even as the penalty's getting taken, I'm sure. But the way he just settled back into the game and forgot about it, brilliant, brilliant.
I mean, a lot of people, again, the problem is Nico Williams is a bit of a bit of a scapegoat, isn't he? He's not unilaterally one Liverpool fan. So I think he's a really tidy player there in Nico. And look, the point is as well, he's much further along in his professional development than someone like Conor Bradley. Bradley should be playing under 23s football this year, and that's considered a really good step up for him because he's still very young himself. It's a shame the timing of Williams' injury again. A bit like the Minamino thing, he could have had a good opportunity here to get a cup, to get a bit of game time. Like he might have actually, you know, he might have played at the weekend if he was fit. You know, he definitely would have played tonight. But right now, this is good. This is a bit like, you know, situations unfold for footballers sometimes, and Nico Williams now he's got to come in and be better than that. Good. If he's not, well, we move him on and let's give more time to Conor Bradley. It's a good situation that we're in. What you don't want to do is go levels. But we had this with the left back thing. We haven't had. There is not a sufficient quality young left back who's come through. Like Larucci spit his dummy out and didn't quite do it. Adam Lewis ended up going out in the end. But it looks like we've got a nice little pecking order of right backs. Very tricky to kind of get yourself in that because Trent is the best right back on the planet. So, but yeah, good from Conor Bradley. We'll do more on him tomorrow. Jug Band 17 with the €5. Just saying, love the content, lads. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much. We do try our best most of the time, not necessarily in terms of understanding the ins and outs and complexities and structure of the League Cup, but we've tried to be entertaining along the way for you. Thank you for joining us across all the content tonight. As ever, if you want more from us, extra Redmen shows, we do more hours of extra content, both in video hours and in podcast form, streaming on our platform, which is the redmentv.com, which again, people are familiar with the concept now of Patreon. Patreon didn't exist when we started, so we had to make our own one. So that's that way. If you want to support us by like helping the channel, people do it by super chats or YouTube memberships. But the best way, most direct way, is to join up as a subscriber on the redmentv.com and get access to all of our content, podcasts, videos, documentaries, interviews, features, loads of stuff to keep you entertained between the matches. And to educate your friends and family on the culture of Liverpool Football Club as well. So if you want to get over there and subscribe, perfect time to do so because the Reds are fucking mustard. We're through to another round of the League Cup. We're top of the league.
What mustard?
The best team. Dijon.
Nice.
Yeah.
A bit continental.
Exactly. Bit of continental flair. You know what I mean? Not Coleman's, like, you know what I mean? Common as muck. We got a bit of that to us too, anyway. But yeah, look, thanks very much. I've had a wonderful evening. Been great being back on the watch along. We will return for the weekend as well. So yeah, for Brentford. So make sure you're ready for that one and have a great night. See us all soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.